time.
Welcome.
Hello,
welcome
everybody. I don't have my cowbell with me.
You forgot it. Your cowbell.
It's in my gym bag, but I'll bang on the table or something. Cowbells for Ron.
Yes, thank you.
Welcome to Triathica's Tri Chatter podcast.
Yes, and Sherry Menard's.
Sherry Menard's just babbling away. I am dying to hear. I haven't seen Ron in, what's it been, a couple of months at least. When was St. George?
It's been a while, yeah.
St. George was in May.
It was May, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to back up all the way to May. It's what, the middle of June now. And I want to hear all about what Ron has been doing in his quest to go back to Kona. So the last time we spoke, you had a game plan for St. George. And your game plan was, if you did the bike and the run, or the swim and the bike, and you came out and you didn't feel like you were in a position where you were likely to win, you were going to not do the run because you didn't want to blow your legs up for the Hanu half, correct?
Close, yeah. Because okay. The plan was always to go to do at least one loop of the two-loop run.
Okay, it's a two.
So, yeah, two-loop run. And, yeah, you got it exactly right. You nailed it.
Right.
So, and you're exactly right about Hanu, too. You know, the idea was just to go out there, give it everything I got. And we knew that there were going to be two slots in my age group, 55 to 59.
This is at St. George.
St. George. Mm-hmm. There were always going to be at least two slots, maybe three, probably three, because there were three the year before.
Right. Now, it obviously didn't sell out.
I think they had registration on site. Yeah, yeah.
And I remember that everybody was so concerned about the water temperature, and that ended up being okay?
It was cold, but it wasn't, you know, like Ironman Arizona or Coeur d'Alene
freezing.
Cold, you know. It was high 50s, I think.
Now, see, for someone who's not a fast swimmer like me, that would be a long time to be in very cold water.
It is, yeah, especially with your low body fat. That would be a real tough swim for
you.
Well,
you don't have too much body fat yourself, honey.
Well, I got way more than you've got.
I don't think so. I think you're just taller. It's just proportion more. Okay, so, but something happened before St. George. You were in that little bike crash.
Oh, you want to talk about the bike crash?
Well, just briefly.
We didn't talk about that?
We have not. I haven't seen you in ages.
Oh, wow.
Okay, did you get hurt?
Yeah, well, one of the athletes that I coach, Aida, was on a quest to Ironman France.
Right.
Or Ironman Nice, I'm not sure what they call it. Mm-hmm. But anyways, in France. And she and I were doing training rides, typically Thursday mornings. And we were... did a ride down to Pendleton, and we just headed north, and we're on that landing strip
area.
I call it landing strip. I don't even know what it is, but it's a long concrete
road.
Looks
like a landing strip.
So we're at the north end of
For
that.
For her, it was really a landing strip.
Yeah, it really was. So we were at the north end of that, and she was on my wheel, and we rode right into a swarm of bees. Just thousands and thousands of bees were all over us. And so I swerved. Unfortunately, my rear wheel hit her front wheel, and we both went down.
How bizarre.
Yeah, it was really, the whole thing was just really weird. So we both went down, and, you know, there's that initial startle. You know, you're startled and you scream. So I heard her scream, and then she hit the ground. We both hit the ground.
Wham.
And then she kept screaming.
Oh.
It's like, uh-oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah. I was worried about her, and I checked myself out, and I seemed to be okay. My neck was a little sore, but, you know, that was it.
So there were no bones protruding or anything.
So I went over to her, and she was just laying, you know, flat on her back.
Ooh.
And just moaning and groaning and in a lot of pain.
Were you guys going very fast when this happened?
You know, we were probably about 20 miles an hour or so. So we
fast enough.
Yeah, so we hit... extremely hard. She landed on her left side, and to kind of shorten the story up a little bit, she ended up, you know, she tried to get on her bike to ride, couldn't ride. We're trying to figure out what to do because we're out in the middle of nowhere. Do we go back to the gate at Pendleton, you know, and get them to get an ambulance
she
or something?
She was not able to ride.
Try to go north. Do we go north and into the park, which is a couple of miles away?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we discovered that there's a viewpoint right off the 5 freeway headed south. So we kind of hobbled our way over there, and her daughter came to pick her up and took her immediately to the hospital, and she broke her pelvis.
Oh.
Split her elbow open. I think it was 7 stitches in her elbow, real bad road rash. Had to cancel all of her Ironman plans.
When was her Ironman? When is it?
I forget when it was, but it was...
Oh, she must have been devastated.
It was this month, I think.
Wow.
I think it was this month.
So no Ironman France for her.
No, no. I think the family's still going to go on vacation there, but I think she's on crutches for about another week. But she's got a great attitude about it. And again, I'm sorry. But she's been great, and she's looking forward to training again. And I said, well, you probably never want to ride with me again. I wouldn't blame you.
It was just one of those weird things, you know?
Was. I mean,
and
it
just shows you how quickly things can happen when you're on a bike.
Oh,
one
so
second,
quick.
You're cruising along. Next minute, you're sliding across the pavement. It happens so quickly.
All the time.
And this was a couple weeks before St. George, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you weren't injured, really.
I wasn't. I had a little stiffness and stuff like that. But I literally had no road rash and... You know, nothing. So
okay. So now we're going to fast forward to St. George. Did you feel like you were tapered well?
Well, you know, we went to St. George 3 weeks prior to the race to check out the course. And actually, you know, Larry and Quentin and Jeff and Gary had already been there. They'd done the race already, so they were familiar with it. But it was just kind of a training weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the first time I'd been there, and
okay. let me remind myself, it's very hilly, correct?
It's hilly, but everybody thinks that, you know, the bike ride is just this monstrous thing. But mm-hmm. actually, the elevation gain at St. George is only like 6,000, 6,200, something like that, which is...
Over 112 miles, that's not very much at all.
It's hilly, but it's not outrageous,
bad.
You know?
Why is it that everyone has this perception of it being so hilly? Are the hills steep?
Well, there's a couple of steep hills. I mean, there's one called the Wall, and that's the steepest. But there's another steep hill leading up to that. So you got pretty steep hill, and then you got the Wall that you go up to. But you know, you look at it, and it's like you're going to be on your bike, 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The Wall is like 8 minutes. You know, so it's. It's long and it's steep.
Right.
It hits 14% at one point, but it's, you know, in terms of the total amount of time that you're on your bike,
minutes.
It's nothing.
Right.
You know, not to say that it's easy, because I wouldn't say it's easy.
Right.
Actually, St. George, I think, is rated the hardest Ironman out of all of them in the world.
Oh, really?
Even tougher than Lanzarote. But it's not because of the bike course.
Why
it's
is it?
Because of the run.
Oh, tell me about the run course.
Yeah, the run's got about 2,000 feet of climbing. And that's a lot of climbing for a while.
After you've been on the bike for 6 hours or whatever.
So it's tough.
So how did you feel after the training weekend?
Felt good. It was good to go and get the feel for it. I wasn't intimidated by the course at all, but I knew it wasn't my type of course. I'm a flat course guy.
Right.
You know, I mean, Arizona fits me to a T.
Right.
I've never done Florida, but that would be a good race for me.
Because
I'm not a strong cyclist. I'm not a good hill climber.
Which is surprising because your weight to power ratio, I would think, would be very good. Being thin.
Yeah. It's,
being thin and strong like you are.
Yeah, it's not. Thank you. But, but no, it's not. But it was good to do that weekend. And
you guys, you didn't swim there, did you?
No, we didn't swim in the lake, but we Sand Hollow Reservoir. We swam at the community pool, and that was interesting because we got in the pool and we're doing some laps, and I wasn't even swimming hard, and I couldn't breathe. It's like, wow, I can't breathe.
What is the elevation of
it's
that?
It's only like 3,000 feet.
Well, that's a lot.
But it doesn't affect you, or it didn't affect me on the bike or the run at all. I didn't feel
swim.
It at all. But on
really?
The swim, I couldn't breathe.
That's so. How I always feel on the swim. That's how I feel
even
at
when
sea level.
At sea level, yeah, yeah.
I could be below sea level and I still can't breathe.
Yeah, so.
So you felt that, huh?
I felt that, you know, and that was a little bit of a concern. So when we got to St. George, a couple days before the race, we did go to the reservoir and we
mm-hmm.
swam, and didn't do anything hard, which I think was a little bit of a strategic mistake. I think in that circumstance, you know, you really kind of need to go and do a little bit of race pace
practice. Really get yourself revved up.
Yeah, because then I would have realized that, uh-oh, you know, I'm going to have a tough time with the swim because the air's so thin. Didn't do that. It was just a casual swim, got wet, felt the water temperature and stuff like that. But
which was at that point, what, 57, 58?
Yes. High 50s. So
cold enough so that you really can't form a word with your mouth when you get out of the water.
Oh yeah, you're thinking all kinds of four-letter words, but you can't spit them out.
Where's my cowbell? Okay. So
race day, you know, weather was perfect. I mean, it was.
I heard it got very hot.
It was calm in the morning. It was beautiful. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of wind, and it can get really, really windy there. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, race morning was great. Got in the water, and this is a, you know, something that I learned at Ironman Arizona, not to get in the water too early. I got
because
in,
you freeze,
you get hypothermia, you're just treading water, not to do that. So I got in a little bit later. I was in the water maybe 10 minutes before the start, you know, so not a lot.
That's about right, don't you think?
Yeah, or less than that. If you're not a great swimmer, don't even get in the water until the gun goes off.
Just do push-ups on the sand. That's what I say. Just like do push-ups.
Yeah, so keep the core temperature
just walk around
up
and intimidate people. Yeah, okay.
So, you know, I line up in the front like I always do, and the gun goes off, and I'm about...
Was it an out-of-the-water start?
No, it was in-water. Okay. Yeah, in-water start. And so I lined up way to the left, which is where the turn buoys were. And so the gun goes off, and I take off at what I think is a really easy pace because I know the adrenaline's flowing, the water's cold, the air is thin, don't go too hard.
Or you're going to be going,
exactly.
Gasping.
And 200 yards later, that's exactly what I was doing.
Oh, no.
I couldn't breathe at all. I mean, I couldn't breathe. I was just totally out of air.
Oh, no.
So... yeah, so I made it a little bit of a left turn.
Did your limbs just feel very heavy too when that happened?
No, not this time. And I didn't cramp. Arizona, I totally cramped.
Right.
The lower extremities were just
so you just felt as though your lungs were just closing up.
Couldn't breathe.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a real bad feeling if you've ever experienced that. It's not good.
I tell you, every swim I have is like that.
I'm going to work on that. That shouldn't be happening.
No.
Not a
I'm exaggerating a little bit. Okay, so what'd you do?
So I swam to the first buoy, and I hung on. I literally just...
You're kidding me.
I hung on to the buoy.
Oh, my land.
Seriously. So I just, you know, and everybody was swimming around the buoy, obviously.
It was that bad.
Oh, it was that bad.
So you couldn't even flip over on your back, because I've had a few experiences where I don't know if I want to say I couldn't breathe, almost like a panic situation that happened to me at Wildflower one time. And I found it to be very helpful to just roll over on my back and backstroke and look at the sky. And you're still making progress,
right?
Albeit slow, and you can still sight. But I found it very soothing to just look up at the sky.
And I think that's the best thing that you can possibly do.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. I wasn't in a position to do that because I couldn't breathe at all.
At all. You just couldn't catch a breath.
I just.
Oh my God, so that's frightening.
I had to stop.
Yeah.
So I just hung on for a while, and it's like, how can this be happening? This is crazy. I started out slow. It's not like I took off like I was going. So yeah, I hung on. I don't know. It seemed like a couple minutes. Maybe it was a minute or so, and then I started swimming again very, very slowly. And of course now, all the good swimmers are gone, so I can't go fast anyway because I'm in the pack with all of the really slow swimmers, which
is
just
fine. They need some help. They need a leader. They need a leader.
Yeah, but
you.
I wasn't about to lead. I was one of the pack, and I was totally okay with that at this point.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's like, okay, we're going nice and slow.
And everything kind of settled down?
Settled down. And then, you know,
were you wearing a heart rate monitor?
Yeah.
And what did your heart rate look like when you looked at it after the race was over?
I didn't bother to download it later.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was high.
Yeah.
But, so swimming a little while, and it started feeling better and better and better. So I sped up as I went along.
Right.
And, you know, for a lot of people, my swim time would be something that they would be extremely ecstatic to have. Me, it was,
like me,
I was way off my.
So what was your swim time?
107.
Oh my God, I'd be jumping for joy if I ever got out of the water in 107.
Yeah.
What do you think it would have been in on a good day, a good swim?
Well,
day?
You know, on a good day, I should be. I still haven't broken an hour yet, but I think I've got that in me.
101, 102.
Yeah,
102, 103. So you probably lost 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is not that bad in
no.
an Ironman race, considering the swim is, what, 10% of the race?
Exactly.
Okay, so you made it through.
Made it through. You know, T1, nothing extraordinary happened there. You know, in and mm-hmm. out. I was, you know, one of the faster transition guys who got in and out fast.
If I had my cowbell, I'd ring it. Because you know I'm all about those transition times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you and I are pretty good at that.
I know. We're going to race someday.
We're
going
to have a competition. We're going to always bring the video camera.
I'm going to win.
Okay, well.
I got tricks. Okay. I got tricks. I'm not going to share them with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Especially like the one where, you know, you bypass the porta potty.
Right.
That
exactly. You're in it to win it.
I need
the
cowbell.
The things we say on Tri-Chat. Okay, so did you know how many people had taken off on the bike when you got out?
It looked pretty empty.
Which I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I was still. I don't really know what my placement was.
Okay, so were you able to say, okay, put the swim behind me. Now I'm on the bike.
Yeah.
Get out of the old. Yeah. Get into the new.
Yeah, yeah. And my plan for the bike was really, you know, it was to base my entire ride based on heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna set my heart rate right at 150.
Not wattage.
No, it wasn't based on wattage this time. It was based on heart rate. You know, the training that I've been doing is all heart rate based. You know, for the last 6 or 7 months, has all been heart rate based. So it's like
we're gonna have to have a podcast about that because there's
oh, we can totally talk about that.
Yeah, there's things. There's a lot of things that we can say negatively and positively about that whole heart rate.
Oh, absolutely.
Thing.
Yeah.
Because I personally don't believe that you can really rely on that all the time.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that impact it, but
yeah.
But that was my plan.
At 150.
Put it right at 150.
And your heart rate tends to run high.
Runs high.
Because in Kona last year, your heart rate was at like 170 sometimes on the bike, right?
Well.
I mean, like really high.
Yeah, it can spike up quite high. But, you know, Kona last year, I hadn't really started doing the heart rate training thing. So I really didn't start that until November last year.
Right, right. Okay, so your plan was stay.
So stick it right at 150. Don't pay any attention to speed or wattage or anything else, and just go out there and do it. And it felt fine. It was comfortable. I wasn't going hard. But the interesting thing was that I was probably 25 or 30 miles into the bike ride, and who passes me but Larry Davidson?
Lair Dog.
And it's like, why is he passing me so quickly, you know?
Is he in your age group? No, he's younger.
He is this year. No, he's same age group as me. He just aged up.
Oh, so he's your
So he was going for his Kona slot.
Yeah. Oh.
So he passes me very early, and, you know, we chatted for a couple of seconds, and he was having trouble getting his heart rate up. I was having trouble getting my wattage up relative to my heart rate.
And he was doing this whole heart rate thing, too.
Well, he's not a really a heart rate guy. He's more of, you know, keep track of the watts and all that. But it was interesting to him that he couldn't get his heart rate up. So he kind of complained about that and went on and it just, you know, blew by me. And I didn't see him the rest of the day. But the bike ride went fine. But I wasn't going very fast. I mean,
what was
a lot
your time?
Of people passed me, like 6:20, I think, which is, you know, really slow.
For you, yeah.
It's,
for you.
It was really slow. So it's like, okay, I'm going slow. That's fine.
I'm Got saving the, it for the run? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to have something left for the run because that's always been my problem is I've always bonked on the run. So got out on the run, and now it's hot.
I heard it was 90.
Now it's hot. And getting
and when you're
hotter.
Going from that those temperature extremes of being so cold in the morning
yeah.
to being so hot on the run, were you hydrating a lot? Were you following your nutrition and
hydration plan? Yeah, that was never an issue. You know, on the bike, I'd taken in all my calories. Mm-hmm. You know,
I
took my 1,800 calories of Infinite, so that was good.
No solid food.
Nothing solid.
No pretzels.
Nothing. Nothing solid. But got out there on the run and felt really good and was passing quite a few people. Good steady pace, and you know, did the first loop. Got to the bottom of the hill, and Gary Clendenin, buddy of mine, who's already qualified for Kona. He'll be there with you.
What was he doing up there?
Well, he did the swim and the bike.
Oh, it was a training day in Canada.
Yeah, so he didn't do any of the run. He thought he'd go out and run out a couple miles and then come back, but he never did any of the run.
He said, "Forget it."
But he was out there with the iPad, you know, checking in, see where everybody's at.
Gary's such a great guy.
Yeah, great guy. So I get done with my one loop, and it's like, okay, so where am I? He goes, well, I think he said at the time I was in seventh place or something like that. And there were only three slots. It's like,
did
okay.
Did he tell you how much time there was between you?
No, because they weren't, they had problems with the transmission, so it wasn't real accurate, so... It's like, okay, I'm in seventh place, and looking back on it now, probably the best I would have hoped for would have been like sixth place, because there are a couple guys out there. The first and second place guys just crushed it.
Really?
The third place guy, Greg Taylor, who Larry and I know, who's an amazing triathlete, he'll be in Kona this year.
Okay.
He was third in our age group last year at Kona.
Uh-huh. Third in the world.
In the world.
Wow.
He came in third at St. George.
Wow. So did they end up having three spots?
They ended up having three.
Mm-hmm. And so he qualified.
The two guys we don't know, and Greg Taylor got the three slots. Larry took fifth.
Oh.
But, again, I may
have... So what did you do when he told you were in seventh place? What was your...
Just stopped. It was like...
You said, okay, that's...
Yeah, that's it. Because that, you know, I have to be realistic about it, you know.
Right.
If I went and I had a great day, if I had a great swim and a great bike, you know, I would have been probably 25 minutes faster than where I was.
Right.
And that's kind of where I thought I would be.
Yeah.
But I wasn't. So.
Well, the good thing is, though, that you stuck with your overall plan, and that was, if it wasn't happening on the run, that you were going to just stop.
Right.
Because you didn't want to blow it for your next big race.
Yeah, because a couple weeks later I had Ironman Honu, which
right.
I knew my chances would be better there.
Right.
That's where I qualified last year.
Right. And that course is much more suited to you, correct?
It's still kind of hilly. The run is not, well, I don't know. The run's hilly too, you know. But but it's a half Ironman. It just seems like it's better suited, you know, to me. So that was it. Yeah, I pulled the plug on the run halfway through. It felt great. Never felt like I was going to bonk at all, even though it was real hot and everything. So I easily could have, you know, finished I'm confident that.
So if there was anything that you could have changed about the race or the training or the prep, what would that have been? You know, it's always easy to look back and say, well, maybe I could have done this.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just committed to doing this heart rate training, you know, for this season. So I wasn't about to change that. I was just going to live with whatever results I've had with it. And frankly, I've been disappointed with the results this year with the heart rate training. But, there really wasn't much I could do.
Yeah.
That's how it happened.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. Good, you know, great training weekend.
Right.
Let's move on and look ahead to Honu.
Right. Okay, so that is our race report for Ironman St. George.
Yes.
And our next podcast will be all about the Honu half, where Ron goes on for his second chance at qualifying for Kona in 2011, right? So, Ron, how do people find you in the internet world? On the cloud. Where are you in the cloud?
I'm in... Cloud Nine. Right now. A couple of beers, I'm gone. You can
tell triathletes don't have any fun.
You can find us at triathica.com. or triathicaacademy.com. You can email me directly if you want at ron@triathica.com. And we find you at?
You find me at coachsbr.com. Swim, bike, run, Sherry Boston Renard. So, yes. And then I understand you have some new and exciting products that you're selling on your website.
Yes.
Some cycling workouts that people can purchase and download.
Cycling,
right?
Workouts, yep. We've got power, endurance, speed, recovery, and soon we'll be releasing the treadmill workouts as well.
Okay.
So thank you for bringing that up.
What about swimming? What about people like me who need some help swimming? Can they buy that swimming thing from you? Isn't there some sort of a swim video or
something?
Well,
we do. You know, one of our very good friends is Kevin Koskela, mm-hmm. the Tri-Swim Coach guy. Mm-hmm. And yes, we advertise his DVD on our website as well. Kevin's an amazing swimmer. You've got to see his stroke. His stroke is...
I could see it for about 2 seconds if he passed
perfect.
Me in the water.
Yeah.
Okay, so triathica.com, triathicaacademy.com, coachsbr.com, and keep training and keep working and enjoy the sport. No matter what you do, have fun, right?
It's all about fun.
Woo!